Hey, Eric is still on his way home from France with Kaylee Frederick, who just ran the 24-hour world championships, and she did amazing. And we got to talk about that, of course. And so I brought on a guest who I think knows a little bit about running around in circles. And he's gonna help fill in for Eric. So that's what we're gonna do today. And I keep forgetting to get the intro video from Eric. So I still didn't do that, but I made a rhyme and it's not as good as Eric's rhyme. It just, Michael Horner's here tonight, ready to chat and keep it light. That's all I've got. And ChatGPT wrote that. So once Eric comes back, the level of intro is gonna skyrocket. We're gonna go from a 2 to like a 12. We're going to be in much better shape when that happens. But let's bring on Mike so that we can do something with the show. Hi, Mike. How's it going?
It's going great. I love the intro. I was just sitting back here chuckling. So now I know who Eric is. So Eric is Eric Kostelnik, who coached and coached. How do you say his last name?
Kosek. K-O-S-E-K.
Oh, I'll never get it. Okay, never mind. Okay, Eric. We'll just call him Eric. So Eric Crude, the amazing, awesome young lady, Kaylee Frederick, right?
Yeah, Crude and coach. That's her coach, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I just made the connection. Kaylee is amazing. I mean,
yeah.
She wasn't even supposed to be running. And she finished 12th in the world with 140-something miles. How many miles? 141?
I want to say 147.
147 miles in a 24-hour with world competition. Yeah. 20 years old, 12th in the world. That is more phenomenal than most people can even imagine. And she wasn't even supposed to be running. She was just supposed to be an alternate.
Yeah. Yeah. She finished as an alternate. But they still let the alternates run and you kind of get to compete as an independent, but yeah, she
phenomenal.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
The
men sort of fell apart at the world championships, but we won't talk about that.
Yeah, we won't talk about. I think we're doing well at bigs. However,
yes, oh my gosh,
the men are doing well at bigs. The women are doing well at bigs right now. Yeah. Scott Snell, who's a friend of the show, he's last I saw, he was still in it. He was still doing good.
Yep, Megan Eckert, who I ran with at 6 Days in the Dome, is awesome. Amazing. She's just an amazing human being. Not to mention what an amazing athlete, but. Yeah. Just one of the nicest people you'd ever want to be around. Megan Eckert is phenomenal. So
how do we get to know all these people? This is wild.
Because we're stupid and we sign up for these things. And knowing that we're never going to keep up with them. But, you know, I tell people all the time. So in the ultra running sport, this is the only sport where you could be an average Joe and you rub elbows with phenomenal elite athletes, and 9 times out of 10 you finish a 100 miler. I don't know how many 100 milers you finish, but you finish a 100 miler. And if you're like me, you're there for the full 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. It takes me a long time
and then so
yeah,
and you pull into the finish line and the dude who finished 15 hours before you is there to shake your hands. You know, there's no other sport in the world, hands down, where you can shake hands with the guy who won the race and has already had a shower, eaten 2 or 3 real meals, been to the sauna, had a massage, and is there at the finish line to welcome you in. That's awesome. What a sport we have. I love ultra running.
It's wild. So it's a fun sport to be a fan of because you can participate in it. And yes, our pace is quite different. But we're both participating in the same event.
Yeah.
But we get to be fans of our friends and make friends with people we're fans of. It's absolutely, well, that's how I met Eric, because I heard Eric and his wife, Becky Kosek. And so years back, I heard them on East Coast Trail and Ultra Running, because they were both on, because he won World's End 50K and then paced his wife to win World's End 100K the same day.
The same day. Wow.
And don't quote me on that. He might not have paced her. I know he crewed her to the end, but I think he did run with her for a little bit. And so they were on a podcast, and that's how I heard of them, which is just wild. And now awesome. I have a podcast with this guy who's super fast.
And he's a wee bit of a legend himself, because he's not in the back of the pack. I mean, he's up front, and he's coaching
in the front of the pack. Yeah.
Well, the thing I love about Eric is he's a good coach. I mean, he's coaching people to go beyond what they think their limits are. And that's the sign of a good ultra running coach. That's somebody who's not just rolling out, here's a plan, download my plan and pay me $100. Yeah.
Right.
No, that's not him. And I love that. I have total huge respect for that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's wild. And we have a lot of the same coaching philosophies but he's a lot faster than me. That's fine. He's business in the front.
Yeah.
I'm the party in the back.
There you go.
And then the two of us, we make up the running mullet.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm somewhere in between.
Yeah. So you have a podcast as well called Living an Ultra Life.
Yes.
So if I started listening to it, and I apologize, I didn't know about it before. But I'm really excited to add it to my list, because you are also on the East Coast, sir. I love hearing about the West Coast races as well. And I listen to plenty of West Coast podcasts, and I listen to a couple of them out of Europe, and those are great, but it just seems like there's not as many over here. So it's great to hear about those little regional races. And so I like hearing about stuff that's outside of my area. That's how I hear about fun things to go do within driving distance, and I don't have to fly to get there.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, my podcast kind of started as it was my protest of COVID.
Nice.
I was so tired of hearing everybody tell me what I can't do. And I just, I didn't grow up in a can't do environment. I just don't think that as humans, we were created to can't do. We were created to what can we do? So I just had this crazy idea one night, and I told my wife, I said, we're going to start a podcast. We didn't know anything. And so, December of 2020 was our first podcast. So we're getting ready to go on 5 years. And, we've gone from, people just listening to me to we have just guests on, and we've had guests from all over the world. We've had Indian runners on. Wow. We've had New Zealand runners on. I mean, we've had people from Ukraine come on the podcast. It's been phenomenal. And we let people tell their story. I tell people, everybody has a story. Mm-hmm. And sadly, the worst story that has ever been told is one that never gets told.
Yeah.
And so I just, for me, the podcast is this passion of, let's get as many people telling their story, because people have phenomenal stories, and I just want them to be heard, because they're just such great stories of overcoming and victory, no matter what that victory looks like. And you can listen to some of these podcasts, and just I get to chat with them, and I get done with them, I look at my wife and I go, oh my gosh, I got to actually talk with this person and have a conversation and hear their story. And I'm more motivated and inspired just because I got to hear their story. And so we're just going to keep it rolling as long as we possibly can. And just continue to have fun with it and have people on. And it's my pleasure. And it's such a blessing to me to do.
Ah, isn't that fun? And even for Eric and I, I'm really excited. We just brought on a producer who can actually share the podcast out, because we're not great about marketing. Neither one of us is good at that kind of stuff. So shout out to Clara for taking over producing responsibilities. But we, at the very least, I get to talk to Eric every week, and it's just fun. And I just like it. So it's like, even if we have, you know, just a few listeners, it's fine. You know, we get a lot of the same people tune in, and that's super fun. I get to listen to the same people chime into the chat, and I get to talk to Eric every week. So
there you go. Can't beat that.
Yeah. So let's back up. Let's back on up the train, and let's hear your story. So when did you start running? How did that happen to you?
Well, my wife and I had been living in Central Asia. We came back to the United States, and to say we had a rough reentry would be an understatement of the century. So I gained a lot of weight really, really fast. And so I found myself in 2010 weighing about 260 pounds. And I just sort of looked at myself and I said, you know, I don't like living this way. And so we joined a gym, and they taught us how to actually read the ingredients on the processed foods that we're eating. And we realized what garbage we were throwing in our bodies. And so we started eating right, and we started working out and everything. And so I was never a runner. So I grew up, you know, in the football and the hockey world, and running was punishment. So
yeah.
The only time you ran is you screwed up, go for run, Horner. You know, it was like, oh God, I got to go for run. And yeah, then I joined the military, and I ran one time a year for, you know, our PFT. You know, I had to run a mile and a half, and you had to do it in 22 minutes or something like that. And it killed me every year, and you had to do so many push-ups, and you know, it just killed me every year. And I barely passed by the skin of my teeth, not getting put on the fat man's, you know, program and everything. So I hated running. I was one of those people that drove down the road on a rainy day, and I'd see a runner, and I'd look for a puddle so I could splash them. I apologize.
Do you still do that? Today. You still
no,
do that?
No, I've stopped now because that's rude and it's mean. And so we were at this gym, and this dude, we were doing these workouts in Kangoo boots. So Kangoo boots were like an inline skate. And then it had like a kind of half moon at the bottom with a spring in it. And so you sort of bounced, you look like Tigger. And the workouts were cool. You know, we got to hit punching bags, and we got to do stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun. Well, one day he said, okay, everybody outside and go for a run. And I was like, everybody except me. This boy doesn't run. He said, get your ass out there and go for a run. Well, so I'm out there bouncing and running, and my knees didn't hurt. And I was like, this is actually kind of fun. So I started doing it more. And you know, before I knew it, I went and ran a 5K in my Kangoo boots. And my wife and I still chuckle to this day because I'm coming around to the finish line. And there are not a lot of hills in Virginia Beach. And so we're coming around to the finish line, and there was a hill at the end of it. And I, of course, am not shy. And so I yelled, who is the stupid idiot who put a hill at the end of the race? And so I didn't see it, but at the finish line, everybody's laughing. And my wife is going, that's my husband. And so I come bouncing in, and I just loved it. And so I signed up for the Marine Corps Marathon in 2011 and ran. I bounced through Washington, D.C. in my Kangoo boots with my wife running around, you know, from aid station to aid station to, you know, in case my boots broke because they were prone to breaking. And I finished the marathon. I didn't realize it, but I went backwards on the 395 bridge because I was running with people. And it all of a sudden dawned on me that I hadn't seen him for a while. And so rather than waiting like smart people do, I ran backwards, make sure they were okay. So I ended up adding about 2 or 3 miles to the race. Still finished, had a great time. I don't remember what time I finished. Everybody goes, what was your first marathon time? I don't know. I crossed the finish line. It was the most phenomenal thing I've ever done in my life. And I thought, okay, that was a lot of fun, but you know, I'm going to try to run like a real person. You know, I want to be a real runner. And so I studied a lot of things, you know, about how do I run without, you know, the rebound being on my knees, because I just, you know, had knee pain, and
I didn't want to get knee pain and then stop running. And so I found zero drop shoes and found out about this whole, you know, 4 foot strike and, you know, learned all about it, studied about it, and went out and played with it and realized, you know, it's a lot of fun. And around the same time, my wife and I decided we really needed to break from the hurry and scurry. And so her big sister lived in Sheridan, Wyoming. And so we just made this decision to move out to Sheridan, Wyoming.
And when, how long ago was that?
That was in 2012.
Okay.
So I'm a newbie. And real quick,
just so you know, Kaylee Frederick just said hi.
Oh, Kaylee Frederick is amazing.
That's the one of the fun things about having a live show is you get a little bit of audience participation.
That is awesome. Well, congratulations, Kaylee. You are phenomenal, and thank you for going and putting on a show for the world. Yeah. You did awesome. But so 2012, we ended up in Wyoming, and I found this amazing, crazy thing called trail running, and I fell in love. And so, you know, I just kept on doing all these trail runs. I wasn't running races because I was a national sales manager. And so I was on the road, you know, every week. And so I got to, I would run everywhere. So, you know, I would run at least wherever I was traveling, I would make it a point to run at least, you know, a 10K in whatever city I was in at least once. And so, you know, I've run a 10K in many, many cities. I never kept track of it because I was just like, I'm just having fun. I love running. Running was just this thing that I found joy in it and I found relief in it. And I found it was some of the most quiet times where I could just calm my mind, calm my soul and just, you know, just go, okay, God, it's just you and me just out here, you know, having fun.
And isn't that wild? Because you went from completely hating it and refusing over to that's your happy place.
It is. You know, it's nuts. I tell people today, I don't even know how the transition happened, but it went from this thing that no way I'm never going to do this to, oh, please don't ever let me be able to, don't ever make me stop.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's morphed a lot. So 2014, I announced to my wife, I said, hey, I'm turning 50 this year. I'm going to run 50 miles on my 50th birthday.
Nice.
And she thought I was insane, but she's always supported me in my insanity. So, you know, it's a good thing. You know, I always tell people, so she's not my wife. She's actually my forever girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a marriage tip. So we'll be married 40 years in June of next year. So the reason we've been married 40 years in June is I decided that I was never going to make her be my wife or, you know, as many of my friends, you know, called her my old lady. I decided that she was going to be my forever girlfriend and I was going to woo her in my entire life and all win her love every day. So she's my forever girlfriend and always will be my forever girlfriend. And she supports my craziness. So when I decided I was going to run 50 miles, she's like, all right, it's stupid. It's hot in July in Sheridan, Wyoming. And she's like, why don't you do this like before? I said, nope, doing it on my birthday. I'm going to do a 50 miler. It's, you know, this is going to be the, you know, the memorial stone that I set down to start the second half of my life stronger. I'm going to be stronger I'm going to be stronger mentally, spiritually, physically than I was in the first half. And I'm going to prove that age is just a number and we're going to be stronger. And so that was kind of the set in stone mark, the owner of the only sports shop in Sheridan, Wyoming. That's so funny when I say that, because we live in these big cities on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like in Hampton Roads, Virginia, there's 4 different run shops, like very specific running stores.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we had one sports related store.
Yeah.
So the owner called me up and she goes, hey, congratulations on your 50 miler. Did you know there's races that do this? I was like, what? She's like, yeah, they're called ultra marathons. I was like, okay, I have no idea. She's like, well, in a couple weeks, you know, I can get you into the Rut 50K. I was like, I don't know what the Rut 50K is, but okay. So we went up and ran the Rut 50K, and I will just tell you that it is 12 of the most butt-clenching miles that you'll ever run in your entire life.
Boy.
You know, you climb the mountain, and then you're like on this narrow trail praying to God you do not trip and fall off the cliff for 12 miles. But I was hooked.
You did.
Because every aid station I came to, I had never experienced this in anything that I had ever done in my life athletically, but every aid station come to, people are going, man, you're doing great. You're looking fantastic. Keep on going. What can we do for you? I'm going, what? Who are these people? These are weirdos, man. We're in a race. You're supposed to be tripping me or something. Yeah, what in the world is going on?
They know me or something.
I don't even have a name on my bed, man. I mean, what are you doing? You know, it's crazy. You get to the finish line, and the dude who finished, so this is just a 50K, and it took me 9 hours. The dude who won it finished in like 5 hours and like 20 minutes. So he's been done like 4 hours.
Yeah.
He's standing there shaking people's hands, congratulating them. I'm going, what universe am I in? This is amazing. And I was just hooked on the community. I said, this is what we're supposed to be like. This, you know, when we're building community, this is what we're supposed to be like. We're not supposed to be hating on each other. We're supposed to be building each other up. We're supposed to be helping each other succeed at whatever it is that you want to succeed at, whether you're in the front of the pack, the middle of the pack, the back of the pack, or everything in between. And I was hooked. So I said, man, I'll do ultra marathons until I don't have wheels left. And so, and even after that, I'll be there volunteering and cheering people on. So my goal is to die at 126 on a mountain in an ultra marathon.
Man, isn't that the dream? That's the life right there.
Yeah. Well, so that's how I got into it. It was crazy.
And now I was looking at your ultra sign up, and I was telling you this before the show, but so many of your races are either on my bucket list or I wish they were on my bucket list. You've done some really cool races. You've done Blackbeards. That one is on my list. You've done Haynesport. We just had a comment. Don Dingle had said, wait, wow. I just completed the Haynesport 48-hour endurance run too. It was my redemption for falling short at Pine Creek 100 a month ago. So congratulations, Don.
Don did a great job at the 48-hour. So I was in the 48-hour, and I remember seeing Don. He did a fantastic job. Good job, Don.
I think that's one of Vanessa's races, right?
Yes. Vanessa, yeah. I met her for the first time.
She's awesome.
What a sweetheart. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, I love Vanessa. She's amazing.
She's a
force of a runner.
I was going to say,
herself.
You could tell that she's hell on wheels, man.
Yeah. So I've heard, and Haynesport is one that's been on my list. Kaylee ran Haynesport before.
Oh yeah.
Before.
She killed the 100. Isn't that where she ran 17 or 15 or something? Some ungodly number that I will never even think about doing 100 miles in.
I think she got the course record while she was there. She had a good day. Yeah. And 6 days at the Dome you've also done, which that one's on my bucket list someday. You did the 48-hour, I think, at 6 days at the Dome. But what a cool experience. So you've done, Cape Fear and just a bunch of, very cool races. I don't get down to Virginia very often. I did, I can only think of one or two races that I've ever done in Virginia, that they have a lot of great races and, just a cool list that you have.
Yeah. It's a cool vibe. And it's fun because like when I'm not out racing myself, I love to go like, this weekend I'm going and I'm crewing a friend, Don Knotts at Andy's Backyard Ultra, just outside of Charlottesville. So that's going to be an absolute blast. And then the following weekend, I'm actually volunteering at Mountain Masochist. And so I'll be running the aid station at the 50K mark of the 100K race. So that's going to be a blast.
Your schedule sounds like mine. This coming weekend, I'm going to be helping the crew and pace at Rim to River in West Virginia.
Yep.
And then the weekend after, a group of us are going to be hiking the Allegheny Front Trail for fun.
Cool.
So it's always coming up with something fun to either pace at or crew at or do some trail work.
Yep.
Or, oh man.
Yeah, you got to give back. I crewed and paced my buddy Adam at the last 2 years at Rim to River. And so I told him this year, I said, I'm not crewing or pacing you this year because I feel like my slowness is holding you back and you need to go run sub 22. So I'm cheering for him to do sub 22. That's not what it is holding him back, but I feel like, you know, if I psych him out that way, maybe he'll actually hit it.
Well, there's a difference with group runs. I have no shame in making all of my fast runner friends go my pace. Does not bother me at all. But racing is a little different. I've turned down a couple of offers for pacing. I'm like, no, I think you need to find somebody else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Find somebody with some speed.
Yeah.
And let them turn it loose. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's good. Adam actually paced Anthony Arthur at Massanutten 100.
Nice. Yeah. Anthony's done. He's done a lot of great races.
Yeah, too. No kidding. He's amazing. That was Grindstone. Sorry. Grindstone. That was an awesome. I tell you, Anthony put on a show at Grindstone this year. Yeah. So he did fantastic. So
that's awesome.
Made Pennsylvania proud.
Good. Good.
Or as we said, Rocksylvania, because he's shown me pictures of your trails. Mm-hmm. And, man.
Yeah. Rocksylvania, it's a little rough up here. I just finished Call the Wilds 50K, which was a lot of fun. I finished that yesterday. And it shares 17 miles with the Eastern States course. A portion of it is on the Mid-State Trail. And it's just absolutely I don't want to say terrible. I shouldn't say it's terrible.
What? How about wonderfully terrible? There you go.
We'll go with that. We'll go with wonderfully terrible. It was a rough one, but there are. It's absolutely beautiful out there.
Awesome.
So yeah. And shout out to Zach and hold on. Zach Miller took first place in the 50K, and then his girlfriend Jess also took first place in the 50K for the female side. So that's kind of fun.
That's awesome.
Isn't that nice? She took third overall.
Yeah.
Which
I'm glad to see Zach turning the speed jets on again.
Yeah. I heard a rumor. I have not heard confirmation of this, but the race director, John Schaefer, said that Zach missed the course record by like less than a minute.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. It was good race conditions, too. There was usually in the morning you get a little bit of dew, but it was really dry.
Okay.
So the course was very dry. It was a bit hot, but we had some wind. So it was like really, really good conditions.
Wow.
And he missed it by a little bit, but it's always fun to have Zach come back to Pennsylvania and run some trails.
He's gonna have to come back and set the course record next year.
Yeah. He's probably visiting family. I know a lot of times when he comes to visit family, he'll stop by and do a race. So
awesome.
Yeah, it was a good race. I don't know if I'll ever do that one again. I love you, Schaefer, but
well, you got to sign up. You got to do 6 days in the dome. So I've done both the 6 days and the 48-hour. And I tell you, it sounds insane. All my friends go, how do you run around a 400-meter track inside a hockey arena for 6 days?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say that, you know, by about the middle of the first day, you don't realize you're running around this track.
Now, this sounds amazing because if anybody out there follows Davy Crockett, he has a whole series of episodes about pedestrianism, which was a big thing in the late 1800s, and that was walking for 6 days. And I think that is also a cool part of it. There's a bit of history along with 6 days in the dome. You know, it's kind of this callback to this other time of the roots of our sport that are not around anymore. So, okay, I don't know a ton about 6 days of the dome. I know a couple of people have done it. I know Barney, he's done it.
Oh yeah, Barney Riesbeck, he's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he's an awesome guy. We did, I've done Conquer the Wall a couple times.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So tell me more about 6 days at the dome.
You know, 6 days in the dome is probably, if you want to expel a lot of, you know, the demons you've got in your life, this is the place to do it, because you're in a totally contained environment, whether you're running, you know, and they have 10 days, 6 days, 48 hours, 72 hours, 24 hours, 12 hours. I mean, you name the race, you can sign up and you can go, and the track is actually pretty fast. I mean, you know, remember, this is where Zach Bitter set the world record for a 100 miler. So, you know, just a wee bit fast. And I got to see Zach Bitter in 2024 try to break it. And he came so close. Oh. I think he was like 38 seconds slower.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And but when you realize how fast they're moving when they're going around the track like that, Gracie, you watch them and you think, I've never seen a human being run that fast by in my life. Yeah. And it's actually really beautiful to watch them because, you know, you would think it looks, they make it look so effortless. Mm-hmm. Like this year, Raj Panu was there.
Mm.
And he's this long, lanky dude from Colorado. But Gracie, you watch him run and you think, wow, that's actually really beautiful to watch because, he's moving, 5 and 6 minute miles for, 24 hours. let that sink in for just a second.
Right.
But he's doing this for a long, long time, but he makes it look effortless. And so it's fun. You get to go to there, you get to see people like that do it. But then you get to see people that you go, wow, how are they even moving? Like, I just remember this. She's 72 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, she does a 10-day. And her goal is to get over 100 miles. She's gotten over 100 miles the last 2 years in the 10-day. And, by about the 6th day, she's got her cane out there. And she's walking with her cane. But she's moving. She's 72 years old.
That's
she's
awesome.
Still getting up there. She's still moving. She's still having a great time. She's schooling all the youngsters.
Yeah.
And it's just fun.
That's inspirational. Inspirational to see the front of the pack, and it's inspirational to see the back of the pack.
Yep. Like, it really is.
I think that's the cool thing about some of these races that are more contained like that. Now, does it feel congested in there? Okay.
Never. It never feels like, you're okay. So it feel when they start the races, like on each one of the, so I was there 6 days. So there were multiple, I think there were 2 72-hour races that started, I think 3 48-hour races and probably 4 or 5 different 24-hour races started. So, usually there's a pack of anywhere from 6 to, no more than 20 runners who are starting. And that kind of gets a little congested right then, but, you string out. And so, there's 3 lanes and everybody knows that it's the responsibility of the person behind to make the pass safely. Mm-hmm. It's not the responsibility of the person in front to be, craning your head, trying to see, am I in the right place? Do I need to move? It's the responsibility of the runner behind to pass safely. And so, there's just little decorum rules that are out there that, all the runners just, grab and go with. You don't ever have, it's really weird because you don't ever find any of the marathon runners out there, that are elbowing their way through you and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. Everybody knows what the decorum is and they conduct themselves in a manner that's very honorable and, kind to the other runners out there, which,
nice.
you gotta like that. So
now, do you have space for your stuff? Do you have
you get a space? Table. So you get a space for all of your stuff. So you can have your gels and your liquid, your nutrition, your hydration. I highly recommend foot care. Foot care is the thing that will take you out of the ball game really, really quick. So, make sure you have, foot lube, have a tube of Desitin because it's going to happen. Destin is a multi-day runner's, saving grace. This is the prime thing that you need to have in your pack is just a tube of Destin because you're going to need it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Isn't that gross? Yeah. We talk about that stuff, but
yeah. Yep.
And I got that recommendation at the race from Barney Riesbeck.
Perfect.
Yeah. Barney's like, Mike, you look really, really uncomfortable. I'm like, dude, I am chafed in spots that shouldn't be chafed. He's like, I have the tube of elixir for you. So he shared a tube of Desitin with me, and God bless his soul. It kept my 6 days moving just fine.
Awesome.
So little things like, so it's a great race. They feed you a good meal about every probably 6 to 8 hours.
Okay.
So you get to just pack down a lot of calories at one time, And then if you're just kind of over the track, there's a sleep area that is actually warm. So a lot of people actually have like full cots and stuff like that. I've just done a blow up mattress on the floor both times. Last year for the 48 hour, I just went up when I finally decided to take a sleep break around the 36 hour mark. And I just crashed on the floor and was out for a good, 30 minute nap. It was the best 30 minute nap of my life.
Yeah.
When you've moved for 36 hours around a track, you'll realize that. Yeah, that sounds like a stupid statement, but it was really amazing. Mm-hmm. So this year at the Dome was my first ever podium finish in my life. So I'm 61 years old, and the first time in my life I've ever finished first at anything.
Yes.
And so it was just the most amazing thing.
Congratulations. I thought over 100 miles, right?
Yeah, 133 miles.
Yeah, 133.
And in 48 hours. Awesome. It was phenomenal. I knew exactly. I signed up for the last 2 days on purpose because it was like somebody's going to lay up a big number early and I want to know what to break. Now, I did not realize that there was this guy named Tom Herman who's running and very, very determined and a much faster runner than me. And so I thought for sure I was finishing second to him because he was just cruising much faster. But I just decided I'm not getting off the track until I physically cannot make little circles anymore. I'm not getting off the track. And I think I just frustrated him because I never got off the track. And he just gave up.
We'll just say he saved his legs for another deck.
There you
we'll
go. That's a better take. Yeah. That's the way to win a race is just be a pigheaded.
Sometimes it's just determination. I only have two wins. And one of them was it was New Jersey Ultra Series, and it was a 5 mile looped, and I had entered into the 50 miler, but they would let you drop down to a shorter distance and you could still be a finisher. You just couldn't podium. And I was just the only one who didn't drop down to a shorter distance. And I won because I was the only finisher.
We had a race in Wyoming and I finished third because there were only three of us who finished the race.
Right.
it's like, so I sit there and go, finished third and DFL all at the same time.
That's right.
There you go.
Sometimes you just got to be determined enough that I remember that day because it got really hot. It was in March. And that's why people drop down to shorter distance. And I just slowed down and just took my time.
There you go.
There we go.
That's awesome. What race was that?
The New Jersey Ultra Series.
Okay.
Yeah. So is that like if it exists anymore?
Okay. But Hanksport was fun because there were a couple just incredible speedsters. The guy who won the 12 hour. All right. Mm-hmm. This will blow your mind. 84 miles in 12 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wild.
And he was disappointed because he wanted to hit 100.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting there going,
"Yeah,
do you realize what you just did?
Yeah,
you're just
so much to consider too.
He was like weather. He was so disappointed that he was like cussing himself out, and I'm just like,
"Yeah,
dude, do you realize you just ran 84 miles in 12 hours?" And the young lady who won 73 miles in 12 hours.
Wow, that's awesome.
And she had the best attitude of anybody out there the whole time I was out in Hanksport. Just an incredible attitude. That's half of it right there. Yeah. Just a delight to just watch, pass you 9 million times.
Absolutely. And I think Vanessa also started doing 3 days at the fair because I think that had a different race director before, right?
Okay. I wasn't sure if she's doing that because I'm actually kind of maybe looking at that one.
3 days at the fair. Yeah. That one's, it looks really cool. There's always something else going on that time of year, though. Yeah. It's so tough. There's so many.
Well, I think it's in April, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, because I'm doing Dogwood 48. So next year I've got Swami.
Oh, nice. I paced at Dogwood last year.
Did you?
I loved it. Okay. I was so happy with that course. I paced for 50 miles. Okay. And so the race director was like, how many miles did you get? I said, I got 50. And he's like, you get a keychain too.
That's awesome. Dan's like, amazing, oh, isn't he? Yeah. I love him. He is one of those all-star race directors that
he's
just so soft-spoken and just the nicest guy in the world, but don't ever try to quit on him.
Yeah.
You see the ugly come out of him. If you go, yeah, you know, I'm going to hang it up. Yeah, the ugly comes out of him. So don't.
There were some big miles put up. Callie, who I was pacing, she ended up with 116. Wow. I forget how many she got. She got quite a few. So
that's awesome.
It was, yeah. I really like Dogwood. I hope that the race has been around, I think, 10 years.
Yeah.
I hope that one continues to.
Me too. Yeah. I'm looking forward to running it the first time. Mm-hmm. I was signed up for it for the first time in 2023 when I ran Swami, and I came off of Swami 200 and was a little bit broken, too broken to actually take on a 48 hour. And so I dropped. I have learned a lot since then about how to finish, you know, big events like that and actually, you know, come off of them ready for the build and going into the next thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm very confident that I'll be fine going into the 48 hour after Swami. So.
Yeah, that's part of the trick. Part of the trick, I think, is a really smart recovery so that you can get straight back into it. And I talk about this. I talk about this with friends and with folks at coaches. Like, part of the reason why you want to have good nutrition during your race is not just for your performance during the race, but it's also like you're fueling for your recovery.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to take 3 months off of running. Who wants to do that? You want to race next weekend. Yep. So
I started doing this thing probably about a year ago where, so I have a training plan. I follow a training plan. Sometimes I write it out just so that I, you know, kind of chart it out. I may not look at it again, but when I write it out, it's basically in my brain.
Yeah.
So about a year ago, I actually started writing out a recovery plan.
Nice.
So my recovery plan looks just like my training plan. Mm-hmm. I know what I need to do to recover well, which also, by the way, includes sleep. Most people don't actually realize that. But, you know, sleep is a huge recovery tool, and you should plan how you plan on getting enough sleep so that you can restore your body. And so I have a recovery plan, and it is, and like Don just said, it starts as soon as I'm done with the race. So it starts with the things that I do as I'm breaking down everything from the race. And that's when recovery starts, so that I've always said, I'm never going to be fast. I walk as fast as I run, which makes some people mad.
It's a talent. That's a talent. I don't have it. I'm not a fast walker.
I'm a fast walker. I can get my walk down into the 11 to 12 minute per mile. I can run, you know, anywhere from 10:30 to 12 is kind of my comfortable running pace. Yeah. I can walk as fast as I run. I can maintain a 13 to 15 minute walk for hundreds of miles. Mm-hmm. And so for me, recovery starts as soon as I'm done, and it's actually planned out. So, you know, it's very active. It's not a ton of miles, but it's moving and it's getting those joints moving again. And my thing is, if you build endurance and durability, you can do this thing forever.
Yep. Absolutely. And Don, I have not heard that before, but I'm stealing it. Recovery starts in the last mile. Yep. 100%. I agree. And this is why you fuel yourself well. This is why you make sure you got a protein shake in the car ready to go.
You got to plan it out. You got to have a plan from the minute that when you're on the start line, you got to start thinking about, you know, how am I going to recover and roll into the next thing stronger, not weaker, stronger.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So you have Dogwood coming up. What other races do you have coming up?
So I'll do Swami 200 again in February, the end of February. And that's more of a race because of what it does for our veterans. So the whole point of Swami Shuffle 200 is to raise both awareness and funds for veterans because we lose almost 8,000 veterans a year to suicide, which, you know, if you think about those statistics, we lost just a tad under 7,000 service members in 22 years of the Afghanistan and Iraq wars combined.
Wow.
And we're losing more than that to suicide every single year. And it's because, you know, if you think about our service members, when they separate from the service, they separate not just from the service, but they're separating from a brotherhood. They're separating from a community that wraps their arms around them. Yes, it kicks them in the butt a lot, but they don't have that. So a lot of these veterans end up going back to all of our small towns and villages and big cities and all the places where they grew up and everything. And they don't have a structure of what they had when they were in the military, and all the dark things that they saw during this period of war just overwhelm them. And because
they're bubbling up.
Yeah. And they don't have, they're not going to ask for help, and they're not, you know, so, you know, I know the VA does an incredible job with, you know, suicide hotline and all these things that they do, but you know what? 99.9% of veterans are never going to pick up that phone and look for help. And so James Fuller and Josh just decided, you know, we're going to start something that's just local grassroots. We're going to raise funds, and we're actually going to go to where veterans who are separating are, and we're going to get them involved in gyms. We're going to get them involved in community again, and surround them with people that can keep them from, you know, committing suicide. And so Swami Shuffle 200 is a race that has my heart. I run it with my heart. I run it for our veterans who did so much for this country. And so I will run that as long as I am physically able to run.
You're giving me chills. All right. I might be putting this one on my list. It just moved up. The Swami Shuffle 200. So it's in Virginia Beach, Virginia. That is in end of February. And that one, I think you said that's the one that is similar course to Blackbeard's, right?
Yeah, very similar, except you start with 22 miles of sand. So you start in Sandbridge, Virginia, Virginia Beach, and you run on the sand through Back Bay National Wildlife Refuge. You run through False Cape State Park. You cross the border of North Carolina. You get run through the little kind of beach community of Corova. You hit another two wildlife refuges. You're very likely to see wild ponies as you're coming up off the beach into Corolla. It's just, and that's always such an incredible delight to see the wild ponies. And then you start on North Carolina 12 and you do the entire route down to the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse. And when you get to the Cape Hatteras Lighthouse, you make a U-turn and you head on back. And your last 22 miles are on the beach, and 22 miles of sand running after you've done 200 miles is something you'll never forget. Yeah. It is a special kind of yaoi.
Yeah, I still have flashbacks from the first half of the duck running in the sand. And I wouldn't be very excited about that, but if it's for vets, then I might consider it. Now, so is it primarily self-supported? Are there aid stations? What's the setup?
Zero aid stations. So it's self-supported. Mm-hmm. So there's 30 runners who started every year. So they keep it very low just because of the permitting through the National Wildlife Refuges. They can't go, you know, all out. So it's all self-supported. So you have to plan, you know, your first, you got 22 miles before you're off of the beach, but then it is another about 6.5 miles till you get to your first store. So so that's
not bad though. Yeah.
So, you know, it's basically a 50K. So you got to support yourself through a 50K. So you got to have enough water, you got to have enough, you know, hydration, and enough food to get you through a 50K. So if you make that, and then it's just self-supported. There's only two 24/7 convenience stores. One that's about mile 50, one that's about mile 62. Then you go up and over the Bass Knight Bridge and you enter what I call Desolation Alley. It's actually called P Island. There's nothing. It's the most amount of nothing that you'll ever run through in your entire life. And you come out in Rodanthe, North Carolina, and there's a Liberty gas station that's open until 6 p.m. and doesn't open until 9 a.m. And so that's your next resupply point. So you got to logistically be thinking about that. You head through Rodanthe and Salvo, and now you hit another stretch that is just, it is the, if for some reason, it's only 12 miles from Salvo to Avon. But it's miserable. It's just, it's
we're trying to sell this.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's wonderfully miserable. Okay. it's just really tough mentally through that area. It's not tough physically. It's just tough mentally because it's a whole lot of nothing.
And I don't know. I think about running for a purpose though, and how cool that would be. And to just think, you know, yeah, this is tough, but there's other people going through tougher, you know,
The constant thought you have. So the first year I ran it, James, the race director at the beginning said, nothing that you do in this is going to be anywhere near as tough as the men and women that we're running for.
Right.
So when you're ready to quit, just remember they don't have that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's that'll hit you. So when you're when you're out there running and you're thinking about the veterans who are sitting at home contemplating ending their life, you won't quit. You cannot. If you have any emotion in your body at all, you will at that point just say, I don't care if I have to crawl. I'm going to make it for these veterans.
Swami
Shuffle is it's my heart. It's my heart race. I run that one with my heart, and I will every time. And
Do they have a cutoff? What's the cutoff?
Cutoff is 144 hours.
How many days is that?
That's math 6 days. That's six
okay.
Days.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. It's 222 total miles in 6 days.
Okay.
And you could. I did 327 miles in the dome in 6 days.
Yeah.
222 is a breeze.
I did 204 and a half.
There you go. See? All right.
Yeah.
You're okay.
All right. That's on my
next
list.
Next year, I expect you to sign up. Sign up is always April Fool's Day.
Year after.
All right. Okay. 2027.
There we go.
To see you in it. All right.
Yep.
Okay. I challenge you. I'm challenging you right now to get signed up.
It's awful because I totally will do it. This is how I did Miller Mountain is because I had the guys on from Miller Mountain. I was like, I'm going to do the race next year. And then I was like, well, now I got to do it.
Yep. There you go. See, you're on. Pressure's on you now, Gracie.
Yeah. But it sounds like a really, I don't know. That sounds good. That one.
There you go.
You've inspired
me. I keep telling
me,
you know, fast runners like Kaylee that they need to do this thing. I'm trying to talk Tara Dower into doing it.
Yeah. Well, it's a limited field though. It'll be good regardless. Do they also do donations though during the race?
They do. They do donations during the race.
What we got to do is we got to tell everybody to donate to it.
Yeah, so like on my podcast next week, we're actually having the race directors on and we're talking about, you know, how we're going to start raising funds for this. So the goal every year is 22,000. It's, you know, to raise by race day. And so this year we're going to kill it. So
yeah, you are. I can't wait. I'm going to have to tune in.
Yeah. So it's, we're going to roll this thing out and challenge everybody to let's make 22,000 not even be a thought, make that be a foregone conclusion. So yeah. Yep.
Perfect.
Our veterans deserve it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And next week we're going to have the Kaylee Frederick.
Oh, are you?
I don't know if she knows that yet, but I asked Eric.
Okay. That is awesome. That is awesome. What an incredible young lady. She's just got the best attitude and, yeah, I love everything Kaylee Frederick. She's amazing.
Yeah, she's awesome, and we're very lucky to that she tunes into our show and makes silly little comments. So we both are going to have great episodes next week.
Absolutely. It'll be fun. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I hope everybody tunes in. You don't do live, you do pre-recorded.
Yeah,
right?
We do pre-recorded. Okay. My wife is an incredible editor, so she makes everybody, including myself, sound like we're semi-intelligent.
Right.
And yeah.
So Eric and I are too lazy for editing. So we're just like, Well, yep. Honestly, I get inspired by other people, and you know, I won't pretend like I don't get ideas from other people, because I absolutely do. And Ginger Runner, I used to love Ginger Runner Live.
Oh yeah.
Which we don't have anymore.
I know. He was awesome live.
Yeah. And I thought it was such a cool concept, because like you'd see a lot of the same people would tune in, and there's like a whole comment section of people commenting back and forth. And so we got, you know, the idea for the podcast and everything kind of came from some other places, and definitely from Ian Golden. But then the concept of it being live is like, well, we both probably suck at editing, so let's just do it live like Ginger Runner does, and
there you go.
And call it good. So everybody's going to have to put Living an Ultra Life out on their Spotify's and their iTunes. Do you also post out to YouTube?
No, we haven't started doing that yet.
Okay.
And because I'm lazy and I haven't figured out how to do it. So yeah. There you go. I still have to work for
ones.
Unfortunately, I have to work for a living. If only I could just run and so podcast, life would be grand. You know,
working is dumb. It's overrated. But we can find you on Podcast Addict. That's where I found you.
Yep.
We're
all over Spotify and iTunes and yeah, so we're loving it. Loving life.
Good. Awesome. All right. What's your last tips to anybody out there who is saying, you know, I'm getting older. Maybe this isn't for me.
Yeah, my tip is we don't ever slow down. Yeah, just keep on moving. My mom is 85 years old, and I'm going down to Florida for Thanksgiving, and her only desire is that I run a 10K with her.
Yes.
And I know it's going to be slow as mud, but you know what? As long as my mom wants to continue getting a 10K every year, I will make that a priority to go down and do a 10K with her, because getting old sucks. So just don't do it.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, that's great advice. Love it. Love it. Love it. And my advice is to tune into both of our podcasts. That's my advice.
I like that advice. Good stuff. Thanks for having me on. I've really enjoyed chatting with you. This is awesome.
Good. Thank you for subbing in for Eric. That was a shout out to Anthony Arthur for that suggestion. Cause I was like, what am I going to do while Eric is gone? I can't just ramble. I can, but it would be a terrible episode. So I'm so glad that you came.
Thank you.
That way we could have something to talk about besides me rambling. This is lovely.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And listen to Living an Ultra Life, and then tune in to The Running Mullet Mondays, 7:30 Eastern. Share with your friends and share with their friends. And tell everybody to like stuff and subscribe to stuff and listen to stuff, and also have an awesome day, because you're awesome. Thanks, everybody. Bye.